So tonight in Genesis 29 and verse number 15, we'll continue that series, looking at some of these things that are just hard to hurdle over. Let's begin in verse number 15, and we'll read just a few verses this evening to get our context of the story. The Word of God says, "And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. It says, "And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, for thy younger daughter." Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we study the topic of insecurity, Lord, to get a grasp on this from a biblical perspective of how we can get over and hurdle this obstacle in our life. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, I just want to tell you, I really enjoyed our services this morning. An awesome service packed in here in the sanctuary and throughout the church. And Sunday school time was really special to me. I really enjoyed that. And I didn't hardly teach, and maybe that was the reason why I enjoyed it so much. And maybe you did too. But we just had kind of a smaller devotion, maybe 10 minutes or so that I actually spoke. And maybe it's a little longer than that, but we opened it up for testimonies, just asking people what God has done in your life in 2018, and we were hearing testimonies of babies being born and God doing miraculous things, and we heard testimonies of people getting married and people leading others to Christ, and hardships that people faced health-wise, and moments in our lives where that could have been much, much worse, and God delivered us for a purpose that He has. And my wife shared about her grandma and her father who passed away this past year, and yet both of them, just within weeks of their life coming to a close, they gave their hearts to Jesus, and He saved them, and they're in heaven now. And she reminded me of the challenge that I gave at the beginning of this year, when maybe you remember, I challenged you to take two people in your life that you were unsure of their salvation and begin praying for them every single day. And of course, a tall task to do something every single day for an entire year. But I know many of you have stuck with that challenge. For my wife, both those people got saved this past year. For me, one of those two people that I've been praying for, I found out that they are saved, and praise God for that. And the other one, I'm still praying, and they're not saved, and I'm still praying for them by name, and I hope that you'll continue to do the same. I also have to share another praise. My brother, Eric, who in 2017 was approved as a missionary to the country of Honduras. He began traveling around on what's called deputation. And if you haven't been around, I guess, missions or a church, deputation might sound like an odd word, but it's basically a family traveling around the country to multiple churches, raising support, monthly support, to go and to plant churches on the mission field somewhere. And for them, God has given them the burden of Honduras. And just last Friday, my sister-in-law Ashley, my two nephews Joel and Owen, and my niece Evelyn boarded a plane and went to Costa Rica. And you think, well, that's not Honduras. I know, because that's their first step. Costa Rica is where they're going to spend the next 8 or 9 months for language school and learning the Spanish language and just immersing themselves into the culture in that language and speaking that. And I've already been able to somewhat talk to him. He called me Saturday and we got disconnected like 3 times, and I texted him. I said, "Welcome to the rest of your life, man." And that's probably never going to end, you know. But we were able to communicate somewhat there. And Joel, his oldest, had his first conversation in Spanish with their landlord that's there. But God, I trust that God will use them in that area to serve even while they're learning the language. I know their goal is to get to Honduras as soon as possible. Praise God for the great things He's done. And that psalm that we read this morning simply said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And He's good to us. We just look back a little bit and next year, man, I'm already looking forward to 2019 December, where we can have that same Sunday school service again so we can share what God has done. So 2 weeks ago, we began this series called When You Just Can't Get Over It. And we looked at injustice, and how injustice is something that we all struggle with. I know that my children, they struggle with injustice. If something happens that's not fair, they let everyone know that's not fair, right? And they can't let it go because it's not fair. The real world isn't as ideal as we would expect it to be. We would love to just coast through life with little difficulty, and yet when we step out into reality every day, we understand we face obstacles that are difficult and sometimes greater than we feel like we can handle. Things like injustice, insecurity, discouragement, bitterness, depression, severed relationships, rejection, confusion. A lot of these things come at us from the outside, but some of them come from within as well. We have a habit of telling ourselves, snap out of it, you know, get over it. And sometimes people will tell us that too. They'll ask us, why can't you just get over it, right? But our problems don't just evaporate, do they? In the pages of this book that we talked about this morning, this book that's not like any other book, we read time and time again throughout God's Word, we encounter men and women who faced and overcame the very challenges that we face today. In this study, we're going to look at 10 people, 10 Bible characters, and how they overcame these difficulties, and how you and I as believers can do the same thing. There are a lot of things in life that, yes, we should just get over it because it's not that big a deal. But there are things, many things, that are a lot more difficult. And these hurdles is what we're going to talk about, or what we're going to talk about on Sunday nights. How can we get over the hurdle and be better on the other side because we encountered it? You know that some of these hurdles that are brought or allowed in your life aren't necessarily terrible things, but rather God can use something that appears to be on the surface bad for us, and it could in turn be something great for our lives. It can do a work in our hearts. It can change us for the better, and that's the goal with this series. This evening, we're going to look at the topic of insecurity. I already felt a little bit insecure. I won't mention any names, but I felt a little judged tonight. And a couple times, actually, as I came in here, and I think I heard these girls down here snickering when I was singing loud. I'm just kidding. I don't think they did. But you know, insecurity is something that we all struggle with, everyone. And while sometimes we feel kind of the pressure that insecurity brings, insecurity always affects us in a negative way. But can we find freedom from insecurity? Can we embrace the truth of God's love for us? Let's learn how to fight against the spirit of insecurity and live in Christ's love. Imagine tomorrow you walk into work and you come to your desk or your office or wherever that is, and you see a note from your boss that says, "I'd like to talk to you, come into my office." You're probably not going to think, "Oh, I'm getting a raise," right? You're probably going to start to feel really insecure and doubt your performance and what you've been doing at work and start to think on those things. Imagine you're at your next doctor's appointment, and while the doctor is examining you, he just goes, and shakes his head. You're going to start to get really insecure, and then you say, "What, doc?" He says, "Oh, nothing." You know, you're going to think, "Wait a minute, hang on, what is it?" You walk into school tomorrow, in the classroom, and then kids immediately turn and start whispering to each other. Are you going to think, oh, they're probably talking about how awesome I am, right? No, that feeling of insecurity is going to come over you. Hey, look, if you ever want to feel insecure, just make a dentist appointment, all right? Go to the dentist, and they'll tell you about cavities that you've had for 10 years, and they just keep reminding you, hey, just in case you forgot, this cavity's still here. I know, all right? And you can't even respond. I mean, it's probably one of the most vulnerable positions. Your mouth is wide open. They got both fists down in there, and it's like, and they're having a conversation. I'm like, just stop talking and focus, all right? A while back, I went to the dentist, and I haven't been back since, but a while back, I went to the dentist, and I remember I was sitting in the chair, and he had me spread open that stinking metal thing in your mouth that always hurts, and they open it too wide, and I'm like, hey, look, you're going to have to work with me here, and he's digging around in there, and they always take that thing that just jabs you. What is the point of that? They don't want you to use toothbrushes that are too hard, but they'll take something metal and they'll shank my teeth with it. You know what is going on? So he's messing around in there, and then he starts feeling in the back, and he goes, hmm. I'm thinking, what? You know, what's the issue? And he said, it's your gum. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, did you know that your gum on this back side is kind of enlarged and bulged a little bit? Well, I said, no, is that a problem? And he said, no, I just figured I'd tell you. And I thought, thanks a lot. Now I'll just be insecure about it the rest of my life. But I appreciate you filling me in on that, right? We have all felt different at different times in our life, moments of insecurity. They can bring fear. They can bring doubt. They can bring worry, stress. And we might struggle a lot, or maybe you don't struggle a lot, but it is something we all face at some point in time, or at least occasionally. Now, for our Bible character this evening, for Leah, however, it was something she faced constantly, constantly. But to understand her story, we have to go back a little bit to Jacob and Esau. Now, I'm sure you remember the story of Jacob and Esau where Isaac was close to dying and he was about ready to give the birthright and the blessing to his oldest son Esau, whom he loved. And Jacob, through his mother's counsel as well, deceived his father, made himself hairy, made him a good meal, and brought it to Isaac. And he stole the birthright and the blessing from Esau through deception. Now, to say that Jacob caused some family drama would be an understatement, right? Because we know that Esau was so upset that he planned to kill Jacob, didn't he? And in fear of his life, Jacob fled to his uncle Laban's house. Now, Laban, when he gets there, Jacob finds that he has two daughters, Rachel and Leah. And when we first read about Leah, we can already see signs of insecurity. The Bible speaks about how beautiful Rachel is in the very first mention of Leah. I'm sure that Leah probably heard that a lot, didn't she? Jacob then wants to marry, guess who? Rachel, not Leah, the oldest. Jacob works 7 years. Laban says, Jacob, shouldn't you give me something in return? And he says, I'll work 7 years for Rachel. And he was very specific for Rachel. And what do you know? The deceiver is deceived when it comes to his wedding night, and he marries Leah instead of Rachel. So he then works more for Rachel, 7 additional years. This time he gets his wife up front, all right? And he marries her before he works. But imagine this, knowing as Leah did, that your husband did not love you or want you from the very beginning of your marriage. Man, that's got to be hard. I mean, I understand that there are certain relationships and people, you know, sometimes they feel like they lose affection for one another over time. But for Leah, in the moment that Jacob said, I do, so to speak, Leah knew that in reality he was saying, I don't want you and I don't love you. So as they're exchanging vows and her face is hid with the veil, she knows that the man she is standing across does not want to marry her. Man, that would be hard, wouldn't it? That would hurt. All of these things led to the perfect environment to breed insecurity in Leah's heart. Now, we're not going to get all the way through this evening, but let's start with the foundations of insecurity. Where does insecurity even come from in the first place? It's something that everyone struggles with at some point in time, and yet where does it come from? Well, like Leah, our insecurity has a source. You see, if you were to go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, you'll find that insecurity was never part of God's original plan. Read in the book of Genesis. When God makes everything, he says, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's very good. Insecurity wasn't part of the equation. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 2:25, we read just this, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. In other words, they were not insecure. That's what insecurity is. You feel shamed. But then something happens. Adam and Eve are deceived. They take of the fruit. And Genesis 3:7 says, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? It says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Why? Because now they're ashamed. Now they're insecure. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why? They're insecure. It says, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God knew exactly where they were. Sometimes God asks us a question so that we can know where we are. And he says, and he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. In Genesis 2:25, what do we find? They were naked and unashamed. And now Adam says, after sin, I was naked and I was afraid. I was ashamed, God. When sin came into the world, so did insecurity. And it has been a part of our lives ever since, hasn't it? But what are some ways that insecurity finds its way into your heart and mine? Let's look at a few of these tonight. The first way it finds its way into our heart is fear. Fear. At its root, insecurity is motivated by a fear of losing something that we love. When we struggle with insecurity, please get this. When we struggle with insecurity, we judge ourselves by what we do instead of who we are. Did you get that? God doesn't judge you by what you do. He judges you by who you are, doesn't he? Somebody needed to hear that tonight. He doesn't judge you by what you do, but who you are. You could call this the report card syndrome. If you get all A's on your report card, you feel confident. You feel good in about yourself and you feel secure because we feel like now we measure up. We've succeeded. We've done something good. But to our Heavenly Father, what we do, listen, the amount of money that we make, what position we hold at work, or how successful we are in the eyes of others, does not matter. God's love is unconditional and it is unfathomably great, isn't it? It's based on not what we do, but who we are. And who are we? We are children of the Most High God. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. Some of us tonight, we just need to get back to resting in God's love. We're tired and we're worn out because we're worried and have so much fear in our life. We're walking around with all these insecurities. You need to rest in the Father's love. It says He will joy over thee with singing. That's God's view of His children. He rejoices over us. He wants us to rest in His love. Listen, as a Christian, no matter what you do or how far you wander away from the Lord, He completely accepts you. He completely loves you. Your performance does not affect His love for you. After you get saved, the amount of good that you do doesn't affect the amount of love God gives you. Is that the way it works with your kids? I hope not. You continue to love them no matter what. Now, of course, there are times where we're unhappy with the decisions that they make, but does that ever cause us to take away our love? Absolutely not. And yet, why do we feel that way about God? God's love for you is not based on you. It's based on Him, isn't it? If it was based on us, then we could be really insecure, right? But it's not based on us. It has always been and will always be based on Him. Jacob clearly loved Rachel more than Leah. And because Leah drew her sense of security from Jacob, she constantly feared being abandoned. You see, in that culture, oftentimes, especially in that Middle Eastern culture, wives were often treated as property. And if you didn't like one, then you just left them. I think probably in America, people are getting back to that with their spouses anyways. But she probably feared, look, he's probably going to leave me. If I don't do something, then he is going to let me go. She learned something very important. It's impossible to find peace and security in something if that something is temporary. Jacob was temporary, wasn't he? You see, after Leah bears her first son, she names him Reuben. Genesis 29:32, it goes on to tell us about this child. Listen to what she says. See the agony of Leah. See her insecurity. And Leah conceived. What a wonderful thing, right? A miracle that God has given a child. Every child is a gift from God. Amen. And this beautiful thing is marred by Leah's insecurity. It says, and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. She thought that having children would make Jacob notice her. Not because of who she was, but because of what she could give him, a son. He wants a son. Rachel hasn't given him a son. I can give him a son. That's what he wants. And if I give him what he wants, then he's going to love me. And we often treat our relationship with God the same way. We think, if I could just give God what He asks, then He'll be happy with me, then He'll accept me, then He'll love me. But that's not the way it works with God. God's love is not like Jacob's love. It's not conditional. She was afraid, and it led to insecurity. Fear is often a cause, a root of insecurity in our hearts. Here's another reason that we have insecurity in our lives. Pressure to perform. The pressure to perform. Like Leah, maybe your insecurity in your own heart has made you feel like you're on trial every day. And if you mess up, or if you do wrong, or if you don't meet the standards that others have said, or that you've set yourself, not God's standards, but your own standards, if you don't do those things and exactly what you're supposed to do, if you don't perform at the level that's expected of you, we feel like we've failed. We've let God down, and now we're insecure in ourselves. We put so much pressure on ourselves, we feel like we have to do something to gain His love. We feel like we constantly have to prove our worth to others and to God. Friend, you don't have to prove your worth to God. He proved your worth to Him when He died on the cross for you. We think if we make one mistake, then we're going to lose our worth. We're going to let others down. Leah certainly understood the pressure to perform. As you follow Leah's story throughout the Bible, you find that she wanted to continue having children. But it doesn't say it's because she found joy in having more children. But really, the reason that we see given in Scripture is because she was desperately trying to perform in order to gain or win Jacob's affection. She was so busy trying to win a competition she was never meant to be in and that she could never win in the first place. You get that? She's trying to win a competition that God never meant her to be in. We do the same thing. We feel like we have to perform and we put ourselves in this competition, so to speak, and then God never intended for that. Leah was so desperate to the point that even after she gave Jacob children, you know what she does? She then gives her maid to Jacob to give him more children. Leah was desperate. Genesis 30 and verse 9, it tells us, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, so when she is now, she's done having kids, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. She's still trying to compete and perform here. She already gave Jacob kids. And even after all those kids, she thinks it's still not enough. And that's the truth. When you base your security on temporary things, you're never going to feel enough. Why do we behave the same way? If we do good enough, if we read enough of the Bible, and man, if I get this Bible calendar read, then maybe God will be happy with my life. If I pray enough, then He'll love me more now. You know what Satan knows? Satan's not ignorant. Satan knows that if he can lay a foundation of insecurity early on in our lives, he's won half the battle, hasn't he? I don't think adults wake up one morning and all of a sudden feel insecure. Now, maybe as I look in the mirror and I see hair that's gray that didn't used to be gray, that causes a little bit of random, you know, spontaneous insecurity. But a life lived from somebody who struggles with insecurity constantly, most often it stems from a time when they were younger where they were made to feel inadequate or they were rejected at some point in time. And they've carried that hurt with them for so long, whether that was a bully at school, whether that was a parent, whether that was a friend or supposed friend or whatever that was. Oftentimes, those feelings of inadequacy stem from earlier on in life. I imagine Leah, again, we're just reading between the lines here, but it's not hard to wonder, had Leah not faced this all of her life? Again, the very first time she's introduced is as the sister of Rachel, the beautiful sister. And I bet people talked about that all the time. Oh, your sister is so pretty. She's so pretty, Leah. We have insecurities because of fear. We have insecurities because we put this pressure on ourselves to perform. Here's another one. How about comparison? Leah's insecurity was rooted in her father Laban's rejection. Laban's opinion of Leah, her own dad, was so low that he devised a plan to trick someone into marrying her. There's no way you can do this on your own, Leah. I mean, there's no way you're getting a man by yourself, okay? We have to devise a plan. We're going to get him, and I'm going to get you one, you know, and I'm going to trick him, and then we'll pull one over on him. Genesis 29 and in verse 23, it tells us somewhat of this plan. It says, "And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid." In verse 25, it says this, "And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, notice what Jacob says. We honestly view this conversation that Jacob is having with Laban, but I imagine that Leah was probably close by. And notice what she hears said about her. What is this that thou hast done unto me? What have you done to me? Can you imagine Leah's heart just tearing out of her chest? What have you done? He says, did I not serve with thee for Rachel? This isn't Rachel. This isn't what I wanted. Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You have tricked me. You have deceived me. This is a horrible thing that you have done. And Leah, I imagine, is probably hearing all of this. Imagine the effect that had on Leah. She was probably already insecure. But the Bible tells us that, again, she wasn't as beautiful like Rachel. She knew that. But now, how devastating it must have been for her own father to tell her that as well. You're not beautiful enough, Leah, so we have to trick him in order for him to marry you. And what do we do as Christians? We know God, yeah, he won't fail us. He's not going to forsake us. We know that he's not going to turn away. But in our hearts, we doubt that we measure up. 2 Corinthians 10:12, notice the warning. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. He said, it is a foolish thing when you look around and begin to compare yourself to someone else, because it will automatically lead to insecurity in your life. I don't have as nice a car as they do. I don't dress as nice as they do. I don't have a good enough job like they do. And it is a foolish thing when we do that, because God knows that we are creating in our heart this bubble of insecurity. Comparison is a great cause for insecurity in our lives. Knowing that Rachel was the favorite wife, Leah began to do whatever she could to secure her position. She's got to secure her position in this family before Jacob gets rid of her. So she has a son, and then another son, and then a third son, and then a fourth son, and then she gives him the maid. And this was her security from being sent away. Genesis 29:33, it goes on to say this. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. She knows this. Is that not a woman who is struggling with insecurity? He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Verse 34, she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore will I call his name Levi. Leah learned the hard way that you can never earn true love. You can earn superficial love, but you can't earn true godly love. We know that with our salvation too, don't we? We can't earn his love or his salvation or his grace. It's given to us because he loves us. Fear, pressure to perform, comparison, and lastly, the possibility of loss. We become vulnerable when we get our security in something that can be taken away. If your security is in your job, that is a very vulnerable position to be in. If your security is in another human being, that's a very vulnerable position to be in. If it's in your health, that's a very vulnerable position to be in. Listen, what do we have that can't be taken away? What do we own that we can't lose? Health can be lost. No matter how much you exercise and take your vitamins, look, you can watch your diet all you want. You can watch the scale. You can work out. You can skip salt. You can not use butter and eat lettuce all day, which probably kill you faster now that we're finding out, right? Somebody said, I don't know who it was, but I loved it. I liked it on Facebook, but somebody said, I never remember... I never remember brownies being recalled, but all this lettuce sure is, isn't it? Which it probably has, but we'll risk it for brownies. We're not going to risk it on lettuce, right? Gross. Anyways, you can do all these things to make sure your health is in prime condition and then get in a car accident tomorrow. Listen, we can't keep anything permanently. Our spouse, our children, our job, our health, our money, our friends. But there is one thing that we have forever, and that's our relationship with the Lord. And that is the only thing our security should be in. Because if your security is in any of those other things, you will be insecure. But if your security is in the Lord, who never changes, His affection for you never goes away, His love never falters, it never fails, we are always His child. That's why our security must be in Him. That's how people got over this hurdle of insecurity in the Bible. That's how Leah got over this hurdle of insecurity. We don't have time to get there yet, but I hope you'll come back next week to find out. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He reminds us our focus must be on God and not on things, because when our security is in things, we become insecure. We make Christ our number one priority. Our focus is on Him. And if that's the case, we will build our security on a foundation that will never crumble. It's never going to falter. You might feel unqualified. You might feel uneducated. You might feel untrained, undergifted, or even unworthy. And yet, those are great, great qualifications for God to do a mighty work, isn't it? If you battle insecurity, remember who you belong to. Not what you do, but who you are. And if you've been saved, you are a child of the King, a son of God, a daughter of God, precious in His sight, bought with the precious blood of Christ. That's how much you're worth. When those feelings of insecurity creep into your heart, ask God, just pray this: God, help me to see myself the way that You see me. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer like that. But tonight, as you go home, maybe you're struggling with this area and you just can't get over it. Maybe you need to simply pray, God, give me Your eyes to see myself as You see me, Your child. Listen, this isn't a competition. We're in this race together, aren't we? Would you stand with me tonight? As you stand and